Next step, number 593, October 17, 2019. Let's hold everything and talk about what's going on in Syria, not as a political issue, but what is our moral obligation as Christians today, viewing from the outside as Armenians who have been at the receiving end of the Turkish sword. This is Father Voskin, I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, inviting you to join us for this next step.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Voskin. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Voskin brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, I have put it off far too long. I've been waiting to do today's podcast. I was going to do it a few days ago. Waited and hoping that I'd feel better, but I'm not, but I'm going to do it anyway because it is so important, so vital to me. You can probably tell from my voice, got some sinus issues going, got a throat that's sore, got a cough that's persistent, but yeah, all the elements of a common cold, no big deal. It is a big deal when you want to say something, when you want to share something, and it's holding you back. But I can't hold it any longer. This is one of the fundamental cornerstones of what we believe and what we practice. And of course, what I'm talking about is what's going on in Syria, what's going on with the Turks advancing and killing the Kurds in Syria, and the world taking a blind eye to it. Like the three monkeys, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil, and maybe there is no evil. What we call in Armenian, chaylami hoke panotun, the psychology of the ostrich. Put your head in the sand and pretend it doesn't exist. And sadly, sickly, our government today, President Trump of the United States, is doing exactly that. He's come out with a statement saying that this is the problem of the Kurds, this is the problem of the Syrians, and it's none of our concern. And do you know how that just resonates inside of me? It's my grandparents talking to me. What do you think happened in 1915? When the world just knew what was going on, the same enemy, the same Turks going in and slaughtering Armenians, and the world just looked and said, well, has nothing to do with us. And even more than that, I think for myself, not only as a grandchild of genocide survivors, I'm coming at it, looking at basically the cornerstone of the In Issues ministry, what we founded ourselves on. And I, you know, last 2 days, I've just been so terribly sick. I couldn't get in front of this. I couldn't even type. It was so bad, holding me down. And I kept thinking about back in 2008. It was 8/8/8. And you know me in numbers. You know me in dates. I love those dates. It was August 8th, 2008, when the Summer Olympics were going to start in China. And I'll never forget, it was our first year of podcasting, and we put together a special edition of The Next Step. Yeah, it's archived. It's there. And it's archived by the United States government. It's on archive.org, believe it or not, yeah. And the entire idea was that, hey, you know, how could you have this Olympics in China, which is a supporter of genocide, with what was going on in Africa and the the investments that they were making in Darfur and Sudan and so on and so on. And we were a voice. And we were a voice that was making a voice that was not silent, but making a noise that was being heard. And I remember those years. And we continued on that same platform. We continued by talking, by calling together, and it became a cornerstone for In Issues. We talked about Dr. Martin Luther King during the Vietnam era. We were inspired by Christian writings by Reverend King. And it gave rise to our annual Martin Luther King retreats, speaking at the local college campuses, whether it was USC, UCLA, and stirring up the importance of not being silent in the wake of these kind of horrific activities on the world stage. And this one has just come up about in the last few days. And I want to share some ideas with you as much as I'm able to today. And I think it's so important that we get this out because, you know, if you go to the In Issues website, there is the mission statement. I want to just read to you the first couple paragraphs because it's based on this that we do all of our activity. And you know what? I'm taking advantage of the little mute button. So if there's some like small little stops, it means I'm coughing, okay? And I'm hitting that mute button just to overcome that cough, okay? So please bear with me right now. In Issues is an organization which rallies support for those who suffer in the world. In Issues was created in response to acts of genocide perpetuated against the Armenian nation in 1915. We believe those who have suffered evil have a unique responsibility to take action against injustice to others. Our actions are based on Christ's principles of love, compassion, and repaying evil with good, as expressed in Armadoxy. As tensions flare in the world, this is from the In His Shoes mission statement, as tensions flare in the world, and as the quest for peace needs to be resolved, it is essential to find new metaphors to answer violence. In Issues is a unique organization because it transcends ethnic and religious differences and focuses on the only thread common to the human condition, namely suffering. In contrast to the political and military response to violence, In Issues challenges people to find the terms which define us as a human race, namely understanding and compassion. And that's the cornerstone. That's basically the foundation upon which In Issues has been built. And today we have a situation which is escalating as we speak, as we're moving forward, because of the actions of a president who has no knowledge or understanding of what he's doing and is governing. Imagine the entire world is being governed from this small little Twitter account. Yes, at some point we would applaud that and say, wow, look at where technology has brought us. But this is ridiculous. And to think a few years ago, remember when Twitter accounts, the maximum number of characters were 140. Now they've brought it up to 280. Well, who wants to hear this guy? This is ridiculous. And what's ridiculous about it is that we are accepting this as normal. It hurts me because right now, as we speak, as we're talking, as you're listening, you know that innocent people are being slaughtered at the hands of the Turks, the same barbarians who perpetuated the first genocide of last century, namely the Armenian genocide, 1915. Again, barbarically going through. And these are the people of the Ottoman Empire. And guess who has an obligation to talk out again about that? Against it. Guess not only has an obligation, has a responsibility. Yes, I mean, what good is it? Do you know that on April 24th, my heart weeps as I watch children going out into the street and protesting against a genocide that took place 100 years ago and today are silent about the genocides that are taking place all around us? You can't do that. You can't go and talk about something that took place in history when you're not willing to make that tie, connecting the dots with what's going on in life right now. You just can't. It's absurd. And I know you're tuned in, and you've tuned in, and here's a religious show. This is not about politics. I want to just make this really clear, okay? Look, I'm gonna spell it out for you so nicely, and I want you to remember this, please. It's really important to me. I know you follow me. You know what we're doing over here. This is really important. How does this figure? This is not about politics. This is about theology. Namely, it's about God. Okay? That's how simple it is. You can't worship a God when there is so much hatred in the world. Your objective is to bring peace. That is what God's mission, that's what God wanted, that's what God said from the very beginning, that's what Jesus came into this world. When he came into this world, the shepherds heralded peace on earth, goodwill to men. When he left this world, he said, peace I leave you. His entire ministry is defined with this concept of peace, understanding, compassion, having love for one another. And now look, you want it really clear how it all fits in, how the dots get connected. Look, this just happened a few days ago. The president withdrew troops from Syria. The Turks went in. I was at a religious conference with priests from all over. I sat through, I listened to conversations about this and that. I even listened to jokes, and it gets tiring, you know, when there's real things going on. It's like you turning on the news and you hear about this death and destruction taking place in Syria, and then the next news item happens to be that the Astros are going to the World Series, and everybody, ha, 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 ha. They're just laughing. Hey, finally, the Astros, the Nationals are going to finally going to be in the World Series, not since 1940 or 1933, since Franklin Delano Roosevelt's time. Okay. You know what that is? It's a baseball game. You know what genocide is? It's an active plan of people trying to exterminate another group of people. Do you know what killing is? Do you know what violence is? Do you know what war is? These do not hold the same weight as a baseball game. You know, it's like your Facebook feeds. You know, I'm just amazed that people are taking things to Facebook like, oh, did you write about it in Facebook? Come on, folks. It's like just as bad as the tweets. 280 characters, and oh, I said something on Twitter. I said something on Facebook. I said something on Instagram. Okay, that's great. Yeah, let's have platforms. Let's have places where we can speak, where we can share. But that's not the end of it. You can't just feel content with that. There's mass murder taking place. And we as Armenians have something to say about that. Look, last weekend happened to be, this just took place last Thursday or Friday. We heard about the killings. Last Saturday happened to be the Feast of the Holy Translators in the Armenian Church. I'm giving this to you because I know you're listening in as Armadoxy, and I know you like it when I connect the dots, and I can't connect them any better than the way they actually form, the way they actually connect. So this is taking place in Syria. Last Saturday was the Feast of the Holy Translators. In that group of translators is Mesrob, of course, the one who creates the Armenian alphabet. Of course, there's Moses Khorenatsi, the one who writes the Armenian history. Of course, there's David the Invincible, the philosopher. And of course, there's St. Nerses Shnorhali. But what's not, of course, is that these are not contemporaries. Okay? In the list of seven that are remembered in the calendar, of the Armenian Church. They are not contemporaries. They are separated by centuries. So why are they considered the translators? Well, they didn't translate something into Armenian. Don't get messed up with that. Look, open up Google right now. Go to Google Translates. Put in a phrase in English and then hit the button and it'll translate it to Armenian. That's what a translator is. That's not what the church is talking about. Taking a word and translating it into another language is fine. It's important. But look at the essence of what's going on. Why translate it to another language? So that people could understand. It's not about the language. It's about the understanding element. That's what the Holy Translators did. They took something that was complex and they made it simple, so that people could understand the faith, could understand what God was all about, namely his love, his passion, and the reason for our existence in this world, so that we love, we have compassion towards others, and we bring about that peace. Okay? That's what the translators did. Now, that feast was this last Saturday. Sunday morning, I'm celebrating the Divine Liturgy, and the Gospel passage came to us from Mark chapter 12, the story of the widow's mite. You know the story, right? Jesus is standing there at the treasury of the temple, and some fat cat comes in and throws in some big coins, and then there is a small widow who gives the last two pennies that she has and throws it into the collection plate. And Jesus said she gave more than the other man. And you can understand why Jesus was not accepted or loved or cared for and eventually was killed by the establishment. He's basically saying, hey, what's important is what you put out of your heart, not what you put out of your wallet, out of your pocket. And Jesus makes this point. That woman gave everything that she had. Now, put it together in terms of that entire weekend. What's going on in the Middle East? What's going on in Syria? What's going on with the translators? What's going on with the widow's offering? And you come to this very easy understanding that we as Armenians are the least of the least. It's not even 10 million of us in the entire world. We have a Christian faith that needs to be expressed. We are that widow's offering. Something where the only thing we have is our identity in this world. That we have gone through this suffering. And now it's up to us to be the first people that are saying something about this. This is not about politics. Again, repeat, this is about humanity. About peace, about calling out for justice. What's going on there in Syria is unacceptable by anyone's standard. And I'm not going to go into the details. You know the details. And if you don't need know the details, you read what happened in 1915 and you see what's going on today and you realize that, hey, there is a case for against evolution, right? We have not evolved as a species. There is no evolution for us because we're doing the same heinous crimes of rape, pillaging land and people, of killing children, raping the innocent, and at the end walking away knowing that they're going to get away with it. Why? Because they got away with it in 1915. Why? Because they got away with it in Pol Pot's regime. They got away with it in Bosnia. They got away with it in Darfur. They got away with it in Rwanda. In other words, a world that's not watching will always have these things repeated. This is a time for us to really put our faith into action, to become the people that speak about it. If you do nothing more than just share this message with people, that's quite a bit. People have got to understand that what's happening there in Syria is a continuation of a plan of evil that we've seen throughout the world. And our answer has to be united. In other words, a non-tolerance for that type of intolerance. In other words, we need to be able to say that what's wrong is wrong. We need to have people accountable for it. If a president says that, okay, this is acceptable, we need to say, then you're not acceptable. How dare he say that this is somebody else's problem? We are a global community. And unfortunately, I know popularism in the last five years, 6 years, it's just overtaken, whether it's the Brexit movement or what's going on here in the United States, elsewhere throughout Europe and in other countries. I'm sorry, but it's a backwards movement. It's backwards, and it's not about politics. It's about finding a language of hope, understanding of us living in this world in peace and harmony. I need to clear myself out. Let's take a little break. Here is the children's choir doing Dead Vodmia. Lord have mercy. Out of the mouths of babes, says our Lord Jesus Christ. That is Dei Vodmia, Lord have mercy, celebrated by the junior choir at St. Sahag Mestrob Armenian Church. I'll have a link on today's show notes so you could check them out and check out all their wonderful, beautiful hymns that are inspiring and uplifting.
Tzava bites nore ora in neora yev hui senora yes I'd can napso sush haskata uyer par matneris veradarza ins getashemin
Okay, before finishing for today, I wanted to share a couple writings with you, and I hope you'll understand. Not feeling too good and gotta get some rest. I'm actually doing a Sunday school seminar tonight in Costa Mesa, which is like a 2-3 hour drive for me, so just pray for me, okay? I really need that today. Really, really bad. Drinking tea, and I think you could tell from my voice, but without any further apologies, let me share with you a couple writings. One is a prayer that I shared with the Bible study, something I wrote in the wake of what's going on in Syria and with the Turks. But first, let me share with you this writing. It comes to us from 1967 by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is an excerpt. It's part of a bigger piece of writing called Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silence. I'm going to put the entire text, the entire piece of writing on our show notes today. Please do check it out. But here is an excerpt. After dealing with civil rights in this country, Dr. King understood that there was a bigger battle out there, something to stand up for peace, and that peace would not happen in the current climate, political climate, especially because of Vietnam. But what he so beautifully does, not only in this writing, but in everything that he does, he brings the gospel of Jesus Christ into it. And I wanted to just share this writing with you today. He writes, "Now it should be incandescently clear that no one who has any concern for the integrity and life of America today can ignore the present war. If America's soul becomes totally poisoned, part of the autopsy must read Vietnam. It can never be saved so long as it destroys the deep hopes of men the world over. So it is that those of us who are yet determined that America will be are led down the path of protest and dissent, working for the health of our land. This is a calling that takes me beyond national allegiances. But even if it were not present, I would yet have to live with the meaning of my commitment to the ministry of Jesus Christ. To me, the relationship of this ministry to the making of peace is so obvious that I sometimes marvel at those who ask me, why am I speaking against the war? Could it be that they do not know that the good news for men was meant for all men, for communists and capitalists, for their children and ours, for black and white, for revolutionary and conservative? Have they forgotten that my ministry is in obedience to the one who loved his enemies so fully that he died for them? What then can I say to the Viet Cong or to Castro or to Mao as a faithful minister of this one? Can I threaten them with death, or must I not share with them my life?" I think you understand why I share this with you. This is not, I repeat, a political issue. This is about God, about peace, about the ministry that we have in Jesus Christ. Last Monday night, in preparing for my Bible study, I had so much that I wanted to share with the group, including a debriefing on the Sasnashen project. But with this news, you know, obviously there was nothing more important than for us to focus in on this. So we did a small little meditation on the widow's mite. We had a reading, and then I shared a prayer, which I want to share with you. Lord our God, you have created everything in wisdom and have given us everything which is good. In our disrespect for you, we have challenged your goodness by allowing evil within our lives through our quest for selfish desires. You gave us peace and we chose war. You gave us health and we chose disease. You gave us happiness and we chose sorrow. You gave us light and we chose darkness. Yet in your infinite love, you chose not to abandon us, but gave us your only begotten Son. who made himself known to us as our Savior Jesus Christ. He came to this world and he healed the sick and gave recovery of sight to the blind. In the midst of turmoil, he gave us his peace and promised never to abandon us. Going through all the temptations that humans experience, he came to the life-giving cross and healed us completely by washing away our sins with his blood. And now, O Lord our God, we ask, fill our hearts with your peace. Wash away the selfish desires that fill our hearts. Expel from us the evil that stands in our way from being one in your love. Dispel the hatred that penetrates our souls and bodies and make us healthy temples of the Holy Spirit, so that war may find no home in our midst. Help those who suffer this evening and help us to walk in their shoes. May we become the instruments of your love by embracing those who suffer and have lost hope. May we reflect love so that those who walk in our reflection may believe in a brighter tomorrow and regain their faith in humankind. For in all things we offer to you, along with our Savior Jesus Christ and the life-giving Holy Spirit, glory and honor and worship, now and always. Amen. I'm going to end today's show with those words as a meditation, as a prayer, given from the bottom of my heart, and ask you to pray too for the people that are being impacted by this day in and day out. May we become those witnesses to the power of God, to the power of our Lord Christ, in healing the sick, not physically only, but mentally, emotionally, and completely. Look forward to being with you again next week, and hopefully under better circumstances, and feeling a little bit better too. On behalf of the crew that put together today's show, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off power! Top minutes.